Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
It's a week that has fundamentally changed the country. We have both a new monarch and a new prime minister. King Charles will travel to Edinburgh today, where he will be joined by the Queen Consort and the new Prime Minister Liz Truss in a service of prayer and reflection for Queen Elizabeth. But what new direction will the country go in? We're joined now by Sir David Lidington, a former Chancellor of Duchy of Lancaster and member of the Privy Council. David, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's start with this pivotal place that the UK is in. Of course, new monarch, new prime minister. What does that mean in terms of where we go from here on out of the UK's influence and power globally, given that, you know, the Queen, such a big representative of British soft power in the world?
Yes, and there's no doubt that the respect in which the Queen was held globally, the length of time that she had been in office, the fact that she knew so many countries around the world, she visited more than 100, she could talk to their leaders today about those leaders' predecessors and about their country's history with real knowledge and understanding, was a massive asset. Now, King Charles obviously has not been in public life for as long as his mother, but he's actually been travelling a great deal on behalf of the Queen in the last probably two decades, as her age and sort of frailty gradually limited her travel opportunities. And he also brings to the role of head of state a deep interest in reconciliation between UK and Ireland, between the communities in Northern Ireland. And he's also done a lot of work in the Western Balkans and in other countries in Central Europe, helping them to rebuild some of the fractured, deeply damaged relationships between communities after the conflicts there in the late 20th century.
What can you tell us a little bit about what the Accession Council was like, this hugely momentous occasion, which, of course, most people in Britain haven't seen in their lifetime? What was it like being in the room for that?
Oh, it was an astonishing mixture of emotions. There was the sense that, you know, nobody is now alive who had been a participant in the last Accession Council in 1952, that we were present, we were witnessing a very solemn constitutional moment, but the formal ritual to affirm and proclaim the succession of the new monarch and to wish him success in that role. But at the same time, you could tell that both the King and the Prince of Wales were men who were struggling with the grief that comes from bereavement of a close and much loved relative. You could see that etched onto their faces, coupled with an awareness on their part of the gravity of the new responsibilities that they were taking on. And standing with the other Privy Councillors there, what was good, you know, lots of the people I knew right across British politics, and from all parts of the UK, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, all represented there. There was no party politics. You know, we were waiting. We had to wait about an hour before the ceremony started. You know, people were chatting to each other, but on a basis of, you know, equality. We'd all been active in politics in the past, some currently, but we were there collectively to support and to salute the new sovereign.
I think about the fact that this period of mourning is coming at already an extremely difficult time for the country. We've had the cost of living crisis perhaps worsening, considering, you know, we're looking at a situation where Russia is providing even less energy to the whole of Europe. It was a time when Liz Truss was just starting to announce her energy policy. What does it mean to have this period of pause, this period of almost paralysis at a moment where the country is in a moment of crisis?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as paralysis, but certainly the public operations of government, you know, have been paused, although behind the scenes there will be a lot of detailed work going on anyway. But, you know, I think for Liz Truss, it is something that she could never have expected in her first week as Prime Minister. I think that there will be further debate about cost of living crisis, the energy package that she announced shortly before Her Majesty's death was, I think, right. I think it was too late in the day to go for any sort of carefully calibrated or means-tested support scheme, a big bazooka of help for everybody, every family and every business was the right way forward, but there'll need to be a lot of detailed questioning and discussion now. How is this going to be paid for how long can we afford to continue it? Does it need to be made more calibrated, tapered in the future? And then beyond that, there are some very big strategic issues about the poor British performance in growth and competitiveness that's been there under Labour and Conservative governments alike for decades, which Liz Truss, I think, will want to tackle through some long-term work on investment, on skills, on the educational disparities between Northern and Southern England, and try to, I hope very much, try to reset the relationship between the United Kingdom and our democratic European neighbours. Because, as you said, at a time when Putin is challenging the democratic world like we've never seen him do before, it's important that democracies stand together.
At that time, though, we are seeing the new Prime Minister facing criticism from some former senior civil servants about making big changes, removing Tom Scholar from as Permanent Secretary to the Treasury, moving also the National Security Advisor from the foreign out of his role as well. Is this the right time to be making changes like that?
Well, clearly, the new Prime Minister decided that she was impatient with the Treasury's sort of historic caution in probably in funding infrastructure projects. I think she wanted a more Reaganite approach to economic policy. I mean, I personally, I'm sorry that about the decision as regards Tom Scholar in particular, whom I worked very closely with when I was a minister in David Cameron's government.
Was it a bad decision?
And I respect very much. Yes, I do. I think it was. I mean, I think he's a very effective, able official who will do his very best for whichever government and whichever minister is the people producer for him to serve. And I also think it's not good for the political masters to start moving professional civil servants around and declare basically they've sacked somebody. When that's not how we should do it. Civil service is meant to be impartial, and it is impartial, serves all governments.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.